opinions of the people expressing them and are not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.
Yo, what's up, Twin Cities? Welcome back. Another episode of Beats, Rhymes, and Democracy. I am JSE the Navigator, joined in studio by none other than L Boog. L Boog is in the building. B Buckner is on the Zoom sphere. What's up, Mr. Buckner?
What's going down, y'all?
Man.
1 week before an election.
Get out and vote. Gotta get out and vote. Get out and vote.
That's it.
All right, L Boog.
No.
Are you hot?
No. Are you hear me?
No, I might need you to go over there to the other mic.
Okay.
Okay. That's all right. What's up, Twin Cities? Welcome back to another episode of Beats, Rhymes, and Democracy here at KFAI, live and direct. L Boog.
Yep.
There you go. Your mic sounds nice. Check one. Your mic sounds nice. Check two. I'm sitting up in
Let's
here with
go.
This little chair. I feel like I'm in a kid's classroom up in here.
Pete was finding it.
Shout out to Pete Lee.
Yes.
Holding it down for 30 plus years here at KFAI with Bob Street.
It always gives me on a positive note when we come in because I love his music selection.
It's fly. Pete Lee is fly. I like it. The Jersey kid getting it done.
OG on the East Coast.
That's right. OG from the East. What's up, y'all? We got elections. We're 1 week away. You can vote every day between now and then if you need to find out where to vote. In the Twin Cities area here, just go to the Secretary of State's website, plug in your address, and they will tell you your early polling place or your election day polling place. That information could be, you can gather that information online. So please do so.
Hey, just whatever you do, just make a plan, go vote next week. If you want to do it earlier, do it. But whatever you do, do it because this is a very important race, not only here in Minneapolis, but there's a race in St. Paul and several communities across the area. So have your voice be heard. And as I'm learning more and more, a lot of school board referendums, you know, what are we going to pay for? You know, and we got to make sure we take care of the kids, especially what's going on across the globe. And, you know, again,
We got SNAP benefits ending nationwide, at least being suspended nationwide, EBT cards, others. I think they're going to be cash benefits will be available. I heard that on a call earlier today, but that's happening end of the week, right?
End of the week,
Meanwhile, they're building a new, you know, ballroom at the White House.
No.
Yeah.
They are?
Yeah.
That's not fake news?
That's fake news. Nope. They've torn the building down, portions of it.
I heard it's like, you know, making it some sort of like stadium where you can pay in and contribute to the development of that ballroom? You know, companies are?
Yes. Yes, like, they are.
How does that work? How does that transaction work? Like, here's some money we're donating to the government and making sure it goes. What about all the money from Doge? What about all? I don't know. Not that I want to fund it. I'm just trying to figure out. There's so much loose talk about who's donating money. Somebody gave money to the military, which is really going only to amount to $100 per soldier. We're saving money over here. We're canceling payments over there. I'm like, this account must have hair like Einstein by now, because it's none of it is making sense. And it's, I know that that's by design, but going back to this, now we're taking donations to rehab part of the White House. I don't understand any of this financial situation going on.
$300 million. It's called for game. The ballroom.
right, Mr. Buckner. It's called game.
I mean, it's. I mean, think about that. $300 million for the ballroom. Hmm. Donation paying the troops $130 million by an individual, and yes, to basically the account of $100 per individual. That again, the. And then with the SNAP benefit conversation, trying to basically force the hand of Democrats to either choose between food and health care is basically what they're trying to do. And what they're not recognizing is that the amount of health care that will go up. I mean, literally 50 to 60% potentially, depending on what kind of plan or where you're at. These are some very interesting times for our republic, for our democracy. And the problem is that there's no check. There's no check on it. The Supreme Court has basically given carte blanche last year by basically saying it's well within the right of the executive, which is a very interesting interpretation of the Constitution and prior law. But also just that Congress, if Barack Obama had done any of this stuff, torn down the East Wing,
they were talking.
Had basically used his position to raise money for not only him and his family and everything else. Can you imagine what the Republicans would be? They would have.
They was
and
talking
here's the
stuff,
hilarious thing.
They would talk about stuff with Barack just because he was smoking cigarettes, yeah, right? I mean, the level of
he wore a tan suit.
He was so squeaky clean. You know, I was like, wow, bro, you really did, you know, take care of your image, right? And he was, you know, he was presidential. The wheels are off. The wheels are off. You talk about fleecing. Now he's trying to recover the $230 million. Legal fees,
bro. Ask for $250, and it's ironic that I guarantee you that he's going to turn it over and say, "Look, I paid for the ballroom."
Yeah, the money, ridiculous. The amount is the amount for. Okay, wait a minute. So how much was it? Is the ballroom 300 and what?
Oh, it's 300 now.
Yeah,
it's 300 now.
It was 250. He's asking for two something.
He's asking for 230, which were the legal fees.
But what was also the donation they said that the person was making to the military? 130?
That's 130.
260. We're at 260 plus 130.
That's 390.
Gee, I wonder where the money is going. I mean, it's not that easy in terms of the math, but if you think about like all the asks going out there, that's what I'm saying. Is here we are, like, this is going to cost this, and somebody's donating over here. Somebody's donating over here. I'm making this amount of an ask, and he's trying to justify that unethical maneuver. By saying it's going to go to the ballroom or whatever, he said, quote unquote, from John Oliver, that John Oliver quoted him saying it will go to charity or something. And then we have these other mysterious donations going in. Are they really going to the military? Is it really going? You know what I mean? I'm just like starting to, like, there's all these words floating in the air, but none of them are landing to show us any proof of concept, any proof of process, any proof that it's going back to the American people. There's no proof. Where's the proof? And this
proof
is what's
in
driving
the pudding.
Me crazy.
We got
a... It's just like somebody keep telling me that they sent me the $25 via Cash App and I never see it. Mm. Oh, it's coming your way. Oh, hey, I sent you that money. You never see it. You hear about it. Oh, we saved some money over here. You know, I got you a deal, but you never see proof of it. And here we're hearing the same thing. It's a scam. Mm. It's a hustle.
It's definitely game. Game recognizes game, and the game is afoot. And I still can't get the folks on the other side who voted this dude in a second time, and as they see the dismantling, nobody's standing up.
Everyone's
locked up.
I'm just like starting to shift my focus and going, okay, you know what? He's going to do the administration, not just he, but everybody. They're doing crazy stuff right now. Fine. They're going to keep doing crazy stuff until the next election. So let's get ahead of it. How are we going to ensure we're having a safe and fair election? Because they're going to say it is, but we know it's not. That's why there's already, Pritzker already said, that is why there's already military heading into blue cities. Because that is going to be what's going to interfere. They're going to confiscate ballot boxes, and they're going to do things to make the election not fair, even though they're going to say it's fair. And I think that's our number one concern right now, is how do we ensure that our elections are going to be free, fair, and safe? And they're already talking about canceling, the vote ahead ballots and absentee ballots and everything. How do we ensure we're gonna have a fair and safe election if everything that we're betting on says wait till the election? Well, we got to do some steps. I hope and pray that we're taking steps as a party to ensure. But with you, Buckner, you sent that link about Dominion being sold, and like the footprints are being laid. So what are we gonna do? Because that's our only protection right now.
Our only protection is us, and making sure that we are going to protect us across the board. That means his participation. And again, this rage would go against anybody. You know, the funny thing is that this is, I yearn for the days of George Herbert Walker Bush. I yearn for the day of W.
That's how far out of bounds we are.
That's how far out of bounds you are. It's just like, how can you start to say, my God, that George W. Bush, that was a decent fellow. And don't get me wrong, it's a pox. I don't want to say it's a pox on all houses. You know, there are things that happen, you know, that has happened throughout the course of this thing called America. But it's the blatantness of the hustle, of the grift, of the game that's taking place right now. And that it is rubber, and it the audacity, and it's rubber. Again, can you please seat the representative from New Mexico? Just do it. You have had quasi-sessions, but you have not sworn in the member from New Mexico who was duly elected to represent New Mexico. And the reality is that they don't want to do it because then it has enough numbers for the petition, because there's a couple of Republicans starting to say, we need to get this information out. But they understand very clearly, Speaker Johnson understands very clearly, if that happens, then everything else kind of falls from there. And again, it's the whole thing of, they're going to continue to push this until they get to where he needs. And so this is where I have to say to, you know, the listening audience, and I know there's a lot of people who are listening to gain information, but also to kind of monitor what we're doing. And we know that, we get it. It's called tracking in the industry. The reality is that if you believe that we're going to have a democracy in the next few years, you know, if we continue down this course, then shame on you. And the fact that we even have the ability to be able to have, America's not perfect. It's not, you know, and sometimes it's very detrimental to everything else, but it has been the hope for the world. It has been the hope for most people. And to basically say, no, we're just going to tear it up for its parts and kind of, you know, ship it off and everything else. And yeah, China, go ahead and you lead the world for the next whatever. If that's what we're good with, go ahead and stand on that. Put your 10 toes down and stand on that and say, we'd rather have China. We'd rather have Russia. We'd rather have dictators across the country to be able to, across the globe to say, you know, our voice should not count. That people of color or LGBT or women or whatever else don't matter. Say that. Say that clearly. A handful of people I can say, Stephen Miller says that. Okay, we get it. But the rest of y'all who condone this activity, that's on you right now.
They're saying, they're saying it at the detriment of their own livelihood, though, too. Because those governmental structures do not care about folks who don't provide money to them. So you're nothing to them. What does it take for people to realize that? That you're not cool. You're not in the cool kids club. You're on the sideline. They're going to kick dirt on you. There is not a single fascist government that cares about their people. If they do, it's momentary, and it's just to get them to be quiet for a little while. Mm. You know, and I'm thinking about that as I was listening to the Argentinian campaign, our recent election. Oh, gee, where did our money go? The $30 million or whatever we gave to Argentina. Oh, could it went to their election to throw it? Gee. I mean, now it's just so... Here's my thing that I keep coming back to. How are we going to prevent the election from being fraudulent? And then secondly, the question that keeps coming up in my head is, what is in it for the GOP to not have a spine against this? What you know is blatantly wrong. Either you're blackmailed, or you're scared and you're being threatened, or you're going along with it because you know the election's going to be fraudulent and you're going to win anyway. Mm. There's no other reason. Fall into party line, fall behind your other party leaders who were also Republican, a John McCain belief, a Mitt Romney, I don't know. There's you pick them. But I don't understand what's in it for them at the cost of their own constituents' livelihood. Especially, I've seen controversial posts about farmers. You know what? You voted and you knew. You voted for this person and you knew his track record. You could have voted for the other person who already had ideas and plans in place to help you. But you went the other direction because of loyalty to party and to a man's false prophecy. And now he's giving all of our agriculture to other countries and leaving our soybeans to dry or to not be bought, getting out bought by cattle farmers from other countries, having Argentina supply our cattle. Like, you bought into that. That's now right. What? Now what? What are you going to do?
What we're going to do right now.
Sorry, it just drives me crazy.
That's all right, but what we're going to do right now is take a music break. Thank you for tuning in to Beats, Rhymes, and Democracy here on KFAI 90.3 FM in Minneapolis, KFAI.org on the net. Radio Without Boundaries. We'll be back right now in a few minutes, y'all.
Support for KFAI comes from First Avenue, presenting Scarloween with Space Monkey Mafia at the Turf Club, Friday, October 31st. Like a Frankenstein's monster of music, Space Monkey Mafia stitches together punk, metal, swing, and rock, and then brings it to life with a healthy jolt of ska. They're touring with their latest release, Death of the Party. Opening the show are Alien Book Club, The Prize Fighters, The Vaughn Tramps, and Marlowe's Passers. More information about Scarloween with Space Monkey Mafia at the Turf Club is available at first-avenue.com.
Hey, Twin Cities, welcome back. Beats, Rhymes, and Democracy. Celebrating the music of Mark Howard James today, professionally known as the 45 King. The 45 King passed away October 19th, a couple years ago For DJs, producers, super producers, the 45 King was a legend. Legend of breakbeats from the onset of hip hop. Born in East Orange, New Jersey, again passed away in 2023. So rest in beats. Was part of Flavor Unit. I don't know if you knew that, Mr. Buckner, but the 45 King was a legend for sure.
I did. Again, as you said, the master of the breakbeats, man. One of my favorites of all time. For some reason, my brain is just not getting around today. Because, like, you know, as we're going through the music, it's we've all been there at that party, and that group that continues to keep the party going in between the various cuts. Basically, most of them. You know, a good number of them were produced by the 45 King. And, you know, again, I got great memories, you know, being, you know, at Hampton or wherever, you know, just hitting that little groove right there. So appreciate the shout out to the DJs.
Shout out to the DJs for sure. James was, noted for producing tracks for other artists as well, including Jay-Z, which he produced a hard Knock Life. Let's see, what else did he do? He was around a lot of folks. Ghostface, Fat Lip, Diamond D, Biz Markie, Craig Mack, Rakim, Common. I mean, the list goes on and on. PMD, super producer, Queen Latifah, Digital Underground, David Bowie, Madonna, Lisa Stansfield, MC Light, a little bit of everybody. So, shout out, rest in beats to the 45 King. Back to our conversation on our Run Amok Nation. Right, that keeps, you know, digging a deeper and deeper hole for the citizenry. I mean, I don't know what the country was for. I mean, I thought the country was for, you know, the citizenry to all benefit, even though we haven't, you know, reached that pinnacle of the founding fathers and their wonderful document they set forward for us to follow. And, well, we just had the rally a couple weeks ago. No kings. That was against the monarchy, right? Declaration of Independence. Right. I mean, there were set up goals set that were, you know, even though we know that some of those folks were robber barons back in the day, but at least they tried to do the right thing. Or, well, I don't know. Many of them were doing the wrong thing. But there was at least a goal set forward. And we have clearly left the roadway and are off track when it comes to living up to expectations.
I think he's trying to live pre-July 4th, 1776.
It seems like it. Definitely trying to take us back.
I was trying to find some good upside stuff here, and I did find one.
What was that?
Waltz announced a $4 million in funding to food shelves in Minnesota.
Governor Walz. Governor Walz, yeah. I heard about that today, trying to fill in for... for the federal debacle. I'm just trying to help you. I'm looking out, babe. I'm looking out.
For those of you out there, I always get my words upside down, backwards, and wrong. And he's forever correcting me all day long.
I'm just trying to help. I'm just trying to help. So we have this is the show that we're not going to talk about the Vikings because, you know, that ship has sailed. We don't know. J.J. McCarthy's definitely coming back.
Yeah, but there you go.
Or somebody.
But there
right?
you go.
I know. I don't want to lean in. I want to lean away. I want to lean away to
Do you remember, though? Hold on. Do you remember, though? Okay. Thank you, Governor, for the donation to the food shelves.
Right.
Let's close that out.
Thank you. Thank you.
Before you transition to Vikings.
Yes.
Let's close that out.
Thank you.
What I'm seeing in comments, they're like, what can we, I shout out to somebody who posted, what can we do to help cover the gap in SNAP in our community, in one of our tribal communities, and compassionate ideas. And then people are listening, but somebody's like, well, it looks like Minnesota plans to pick up the slack. Girl, that is not the answer. That is not the answer. You don't.
No.
No. The government will take care of us.
Well, I mean, it's also. I
you
mean,
can't rely on that, though. Well, that's not the point of that post.
Agreed. I would agree.
As a community, how do we help each other compassionately? Not, oh, well, we don't have to. The government's here to help us out.
Yes, definitely. But we're going to be facing some complicated financial situations in the state. Anyway, I mean, I think it's a Band-Aid. I do applaud the Walz administration for stepping up and saying, okay, we got an idiot at the helm right now who is, you know, the government's on shutdown. And meanwhile, you know, people are going to go hungry, right? And which is going to create chaos in the cities that they want to go and establish military rule, right? I mean, they're setting up their own game plan. And if y'all don't see it, I'm not sure what you're looking at. If you're paying, if you're not paying attention, you better start. But I think your point is valid. And that is, now is the time for everyone to step up. It's one thing to applaud the governor for that work and say, that's good. That's leadership.
Thank you.
Leadership that rises to the occasion. But, you know, we should still be making calls to legislators. We should still be engaging and participating in our government to save our democracy before it goes completely down the drain.
Yeah, it's a multi-layered. Yes, absolutely. Well, okay, so.
Well,
it fired me up, though, because I had also posted about something thanking the Associated Press for covering the Alaska tidal wave that destroyed a lot of those communities up there in Alaska that are native villages, and nobody was covering it. And I said, all I said in the comments was, thank you for covering this. It's tragic, and not enough mainstream media is covering it. And just some random person goes, but they are, though. Listen, honey, I didn't. Did you have to go out of your way to say that? I mean, what was the point in that comment? And I just hit her. I just hit it, the comment, because AP Press. I wanted to in my mind.
You actually hit her.
But I checked myself because I'm over 18 now, and I hid the comment because I can on the Associated Press website. Mm. And I was like, I'm not even going to give her any attention because that's a troll. We can't give trolls attention. We've got to think forward. We've got to think, protect the election. protect the democracy, and protect our rights. So the Vikings.
Protect your quarterback.
Protect your quarterback, because now we're on to another quarterback, apparently, because the substitute who was not getting it done, maybe it was his shoulder, I don't know. Maybe it was, you know, the fact that he didn't escape and throw the ball within, you know, 4 seconds as the pocket was collapsing behind him, around him. But no, I'm going to segue out of football into basketball to talk about the NBA FBI related sports betting.
Okay.
Poker. you want to talk more about the Vikings?
I just wanted to remind, he did not like this reminder, B. Remember when we had an opportunity to buy Aaron Rodgers?
We don't buy people. We don't buy people.
His contract.
His contract. Gotcha. Gotcha.
Get that contract and we had a chance and
we did.
I understood why we did not go after. I mean that we didn't bring him in. I'm pretty sure the quarterback whisperer would not have been able to deal with, you know, someone who has 2x the knowledge of his, but that would have actually stabilized this quarterback situation. Yes. But we still have to hold him up because the offensive line is a mash unit now.
To have another Green Bay quarterback come in and stabilize the Vikings for a little while just couldn't happen, could it? And speaking from somebody who's from Wisconsin, who is a Vikings fan, y'all, you need to just look across the border and see what they do with their quarterbacks over there to get a strong team, because I've been a Vikings fan long enough right now that I'm going, yo, you got to get your house together, because this is not fun.
I'm with you. This is tough. I mean, it's always been tough being a Vikings fan. There have been some terrible losses, complete destruction in one game, you know, that cost you championship runs and a lot of things that happened. Weird injuries. Teddy Bridgewater comes to mind amongst many others. I'm beginning to wonder what's wrong, right? We got new coach.
What's the root cause?
New coach, new GM. We were sold a bill of goods that the defense was going to be improved. The offensive line was going to be improved. Now both of those things are bleeding out immensely, right? There's no ability to stop the run on a consistent basis, and there's no ability to stop the deep pass or put pressure on the quarterback to really force bad passes. So, and all of that can't be injury on a defensive side, especially when other teams in our division are improving. Their secondaries are improving. Their defensive lines are improving. Their quarterbacks are improving. We play in a division. Yeah, what's that?
They're healthy, though. I mean, I will say it this way. The continuity, because you think about the luck that we had last year with not getting hurt compared to where we are this year. I mean, it's night and day, and it shows that the talent level drops off considerably because of the lack of the personnel. I mean, both of our tackles in both of the games, actually the past 3 games, have not been on the field, Darrishaw and O'Neal. Our center that was supposed to be the weight that was going to be able to push the front, you know, especially on the run game, he's been gone for most of the season. The other guard that we picked up from the Colts as well, he's been in and out. So we've been doing and the funny thing is, I keep looking at all the teams that have picked up all of our players, and they're starting, and they're actually doing pretty well, but they're in schemes. And they're healthy right now. And they're being, you know, those players are being used to maximize their skill set as opposed to building what's going on. And Minnesota looked bad last Thursday as relates to stopping the run. I mean, they got gashed.
They looked bad on both sides of the ball.
But it showed that there was a lack of fortitude. And someone said it very clearly, and I agree. Because of the injuries, but the lack of identity to be able to say, this is what this team's about. They can overcome it. Mm-hmm. And here's the simple thing. You have the best receiver in the game. All I know is what old man Flacco has done is recognize two things. Jamar Chase knows how to catch a ball.
Mm-hmm.
If Carson Wentz was able to just say, you know what, I know he's triple teamed, but guess what? I'm going to throw it behind my back, and I know he's going to catch it. We haven't had the audacity taking place. And even just the whole thing of people are just not seeing the field well.
I'm at a point because, you know, again, patient. When you're a Vikings fan, you see a lot of things go wrong. I wasn't trying to go down this rabbit hole, but here we are.
Yeah, it's okay, man. So it's therapeutic. Right.
But it's not. It's painful. is our issue personnel, our GM, or coaching?
A little bit
of all of it. Is that where we're at? Because think about that. I heard, one of the craziest things I've seen in a football game happened not on Thursday, but in the game against Philly. And that was a defensive lineman sitting on the ground on all fours, right, as a methodology to stop the tush push, right? That's something that you'd have to go back to the – I've never seen any other team in the league resort to that level of, to me, you've conceded that you cannot stop this in a regular way. So, meanwhile, Harrison Phillips, wasn't he? I just heard recently, defensive lineman, not sure why they let him go. Again, we were promised an improved defense. That's what we were told.
But that did not happen. You bring up a great point there. You bring up a good point because we believed, based off of our numbers, that we had the depth, and they went with the technique of we're going to be faster than everybody and not necessarily stronger. So when they let go Harrison Phillips, they did it at the behest of trying to go with a defensive lineman, defensive end, to get more depth on the outside and kind of go from there. And that's backfired for sure because, again, the last couple games – you know, again, we're not sustaining or holding up the middle, and we're not getting the pressure from the outside. But again, Van Ginkle's out, Grenard's out. There's a couple of the cats that are out too, and we had a horrible back end. We did not keep what was the cat that was leading all the Dan steps last year, the safety that was with Harrison Smith. And that was a major blow as well, because what Harrison was able to do.
Is that Orlando Pace? Not
Orlando Pace, but we'll get there in a second.
Yeah,
but
we lost another secondary player.
He gave the ability for Harrison Smith to do what he did, which was to be that seventh and eighth man in the box if needed to be, or if actually, sliding down. And Harrison's lost a step.
And you know what? I said that.
Yeah.
Watching the game. He was injured, but I think you were right, is that he did lose a step.
That's a sign.
Right now, he's 14th year.
But it's a sign of the team, too.
Normally he's that last line of offense. Last line of defense on some of those over. He's normally the guy. And Harrison Smith, listen.
He's a beast.
Mad respect to Harrison Smith and the career he has had with the Vikings. And normally when a player, just through attrition from being in the league, hits, injuries, age, you build that support system around. Sometimes you move those players into different roles, into your nickel package or your dime package.
Yeah.
There are other ways to keep those players who – Harrison Smith's the kind of dude you could put him in some schemes as another outside linebacker. You could do a lot of things with him that don't require that he is the free safety to protect your back.
True.
And right now, our defense is bleeding, and offensive line. Defensive line and offensive line, that wins championships. We were manhandled by Philly, and then we were manhandled by a team that I didn't think was as good as Philly, and even though they dropped a couple, and that was the Chargers, right? I mean,
the Chargers,
The Chargers had some things going, but they were not the kind of dominant team that really kind of destroyed the Vikings. And I think we're in trouble. I mean, we'll see what happens with JJ. You know, he's a young dude. I didn't want to get into it, and now I need therapy through music. So we're going to take a quick music break. Thank you for tuning in to Beats, Rhymes, and Democracy here on KFAI. Were you going to say something, Beats?
It's sometimes sports. You forget the sometimes sports.
You're right. We renamed the show El Bug when you were away last week. It's Beats, Rhymes, Democracy, and Sometimes Sports. At any rate, we'll be back. Thank you for tuning in to Beats, Rhymes, and Democracy, and Sometimes Sports here on KFAI 90.3 FM in Minneapolis. Radio Without Boundaries. We'll be right back, y'all.
KFAI comes from the Theater Culture Center, presenting An Evening with Justin Adams and Merle Durante, Thursday, November 13th. English guitarist, composer, and producer Justin Adams and Italian percussionist, violinist Merle Durante team up again for their latest release, Sweet Release. They bring their talents together to create a unique sound that they call Mediterranean Trance Blues. More information about The Evening with Justin Adams and Merle Durante is available at thecedar.org.
Welcome back. Beats, Rhymes, and Democracy here on KFAI. Listen to the music now of Madlib, another super producer known as Otis Lee Jackson, born October 24th, 1973. DJ, producer, rapper. Had the chance of seeing Madlib perform live in London a few years ago. Again, one of the best producers to lace it up. Partnered often with MF Doom. Their crew was called Mad Villain. More rhymes and beats that we're playing tonight. Most of it's instrumentals tonight as we take this journey this Monday evening. We did not talk about, I'm gonna switch the game up from from football to hoops and the major FBI sting that occurred that led to former Timberwolf player now, or maybe ex-coach at this point, of the Portland Trail Blazers, NBA champion who played with was he with the Bucks when he won those championships? Chauncey Billups.
That was Detroit, wasn't it?
Detroit, my bad. Yes, he was with Detroit. He was with Detroit with the Pistons when he won those championships. After he left Minneapolis to go do other things, got caught up. Him and Terry Rozier, I think is the name of the other NBA player. They had KG implicated. At least KG said, "Hey, I got invited to one of these parties. I thought I was going to an after party. Ended up at a poker game, and I kind of dipped. But we got the mob involved. We got all kinds of things happen. I see Cash Patel and others as a part of this sting, and it makes me wonder what's really going on. You know, we can't get the Epstein files released, but we can have this major sports betting illegal poker game, underground poker, private poker party scam situation from what I'm hearing. People lost millions because they were told they would have a chance to play poker with some superstar celebrity. And KG was a part of that. I think there was NFL players and others. And you got mob involved, but what's really interesting is only the NBA players. That's the only people we know that are involved, other than some names that have been dropped that are part of the 31 people that were arrested in this scandal that's come out, which is crazy.
Well,
it was an investigation for a couple of years, by the way.
Got you. Okay.
Yeah. All right.
Well,
yeah.
Thanks for clearing that.
And the simple fact is that, you know, normally when the federal government is doing that type of work and that deep background and it puts its indictments out, these things are, you know, there's where there's smoke, there's some fire for sure. And it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. So from that perspective, let's allow for the justice system to allow for everybody to have their day in court, to go and have their say without question. But the problem that we're kind of running into is that with this, you know, you juxtapose that to what's going on with the other indictments of the Attorney General out of New York, and her name is
Letitia James.
There it is. Because I totally was blanking there. But also the special prosecutor. That the career and prosecutors were like, we're not bringing this to trial because there's no there. And still it's brought to trial after those individuals were released. It throws great water on good or potentially proper police work, proper investigations. So now all of a sudden people are going to question, you know, you did this. Why is this coming out now? Why are you perp walking, you know, all the NBA players? You're not perp walking the individuals who actually, you know, allegedly put this thing together.
Or the members of the mob, for that matter, right?
Those are the purveyors of the activity, as the indictment has put out there. So the question now is the whole thing of what are you trying to say and prove at the opening of the NBA season? It's not lost on me that they actually put that thing out there.
I'm with you. This is orchestrated.
Here's what's interesting.
Because everything has been.
Yeah. Here's what's interesting, too. The MLB, the NBA, the NHL, the NFL have all given disproportionate amounts of money to the GOP. Donations. Mm-hmm. Disproportionately, notice WNBA is not in there because they gave proportionately to both, a little bit more to Democrats. Same with another. But anyway, my point is this. I just found it strange or coincidental or whatever we want to call it, drawing the links. I'm always suspicious, but a number of those people are donors. to the campaign, the Trump campaign, because they're friends with the sons. So the FanDuel, whatever that is, I forget the name.
Yeah.
FanDuel, yep.
Yeah.
DraftKings, they all gave multi-million dollar donations. And so did the NBA. And like, then there's this bet, like, was it a New York State thing to be like, well, we got you again, and finding some connections?
It is the irony. The irony is not lost because Trump's sons are involved in sports betting. 100%. 100%. Kosh, and they're doing all kinds of end arounds in terms of what's legal and what's not, right? So the game is in. Now it's just another game. And it's a diversionary tactic away from what else is happening, like a government shutdown with SNAP benefits expiring at the end of the week, right? Crazy town.
I mean, here's the thing. All you got to do is ask AI anything related to this government administration, and it'll give you the links. Like, I just typed it in. The orange ones bid to buy an NBA team. Just out of curiosity, see if there was ever. Yep, there it is. There it is. Baltimore Colts, 1981. Tried to do that. Had a failed bid with the Buffalo Bills.
Was that a football
Bills.
Team?
That's
that
football, though.
Okay. Yeah, Baltimore Colts.
But I'm just saying, like, some NBA team owners have donated, blah, 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 blah. There's always a link somehow. I'm starting to just go like this. Free and fair elections means, sorry, babe, this may put you out of a job. No lobbyist interference. No political contributions. You all get the same budget and run for office. Because I'm tired of all these lazy links to donations and companies and decisions and actions that are made, no matter what side of the party you are on. It's old news.
Well, I mean, clearly, a system that had flaws to begin with. I talked about the vision. Right. At least the words that were used, even though the vision was never completely realized. If there was a system that was somewhat susceptible to a illegitimate presence who was able to skate prosecution at a time when he ran successfully for president, for that to happen, that alone to happen, meant that we had some flaws, we had some gaps in our structure, in our system, that allowed for now this reality, right? And the democracy, Mr. Buckner, we talked about it last, the previous administration, right? Mm-hmm. Clearly, the democracy is in harm's way, right?
We are now.
Are we on life support? I mean, we are in the ICU. We are in the ICU. The prognosis, critical condition, is not looking good. Because I've said this to El Boog, and I've said this to others. It's scary enough in the current reality. What's even scarier is the precedents that have been set in these various areas, where lawlessness is now. I feel like when I painted the Joker on the Trump bobblehead doll that I had, right, that I still have, that I got to pull out. When I painted that, it was kind of in jest. But if you remember, probably the best Joker character that we had, Heath Ledger, rest in peace.
Mm-hmm.
He was about the destruction of society, right?
Yes.
As we know it. To bring about something else, something different. And we are on the precipice of failing as a nation. And I don't know how we make a comeback. I know we got about five, 6 minutes before we get up out of here. I don't know how deep we can get in. But
free and fair election, protected at all costs. Because if we're on ICU, the fair election, free and fair election, and voting the right, the messaging to lead up to that voting is like the treatment you're going to be getting. It's like, it's what we need to prevent it from dying. So one of the many treatments, but this is one of them, and we need to protect it at all costs. And that means looking at every avenue possible that they could be corrupting it and preventing that from happening. Getting the word out ahead, control the messaging more. Getting ahead of the message. Gavin Newsom is doing a brilliant job. AOC is doing a brilliant job. They know how to fight back. And I just read, seen a brief article that showed Michael Bloomberg spent money, went down to Marjorie Taylor Greene's area. And I'm going to just go there for a second to see why is she all of a sudden turning on him. It's because her voters are.
I told you.
Yeah.
I told you.
But I said to you, too. I said, I respect her, though, because she's going where her voters go.
Well, she saw, because I looked at the map to see where her district is, and she's like third ring suburb outside of Atlanta. Yeah. So now you know, I don't think she has the ability, because she did shift real quickly, like, what the heck? So she must have seen some polling. Right. She must have seen something that got her to at least be reasonable at this critical time.
And responsive to her voters' changing demographic or changing beliefs and values. Mm-hmm. So I give her her props for that, because that is what politicians should be doing. Is they should. She's not perfect, no, but no politician is.
Give her any props.
However, well, you got to go. You got to do what your constituents
want. I'm going to give her one prop. For having the courage to wear that Golden Compass outfit.
At the State of the Union address a couple years ago.
I'm going to give her one prop for just the courage of wearing that.
I do have, though, for next week, guys? I got the book Nobody's Girl by Virginia Roberts Giuffre.
Okay. Enlighten us in 4 minutes.
She's the memoir. It's the memoir of the surviving abuse main person that Jeffrey Epstein abused.
And
she committed suicide.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah, but she released this book after. Mm. Mm. And England is pulling their hair out right now trying to manage this issue because of Prince Andrew. And the public's demanding they take everything from him because of what has come out. So I'm going to listen to it, and we'll see what... I'll give you some highlights next week. I did finish Harris's book, 107 Days, and now there's word that she would run for office potentially. So we got exciting things possibly to talk about next week. But yeah, I said good for her. She didn't lose by that much.
Did you say we'll have some positive things to talk about next week?
Okay, yes, because I can't loathe coming in to talk about this current situation. I'm looking ahead, like, what can we do? Like, we can talk about other things, but like, I'm watching, okay, how I'm getting ready to think about how we could help with the voting. How can we help in other ways to keep the message that needs to be heard out there?
Well, we could say get out and vote. Like,
we could
right
do
now in Minneapolis, you got a week. You got a week left, early voting pretty much every day. And then, of course, general elections next Tuesday.
You know, and it's a tough question for Minneapolis. They're fighting back hard. You voting for the city council to be in sync with the mayor, or are you voting for a mayor to be against the city council? And that's a tough, that's the messaging they're giving, at least. You know, vote for what you think is right for the city.
Mm-hmm.
Do your research. Mm.
Do your research. There's a lot. There's great candidates. Do your research.
Well, I'll simply say it this way, is that politics is still a team sport at the end of the day. And specifically, to win elections, you have to have 50+1. And now here's the funny thing, and I'll wrap it up from local up to the state, to the feds real quick. We have a civil war that's taking place in the city of Minneapolis because both sides are Democrats. One's just a little bit more progressive than the other. That's basically what it breaks down to, because all of them are going to rally around the governor next year in order to try to keep the seat and go from that standpoint. That's just a reality. So then all of a sudden, we have to figure out what is going to be the momentum swing to push back what is going on. And again, as the president talked about today, he's not ruling it out for running for a third term, which would make actually ineligible. I have to remind him, if he's able to run for a third term, there's another guy that's able to run for a third term too, called Barack Obama. So if you want that fight, let's do that. Let's do that all day and twice on Sunday. I don't care how many people you're trying to get out there to disrupt it, whatever. There's going to be a pushback. The question is can people see themselves, success within themselves? Can women see their success within communities of color? I mean, specifically white women. Can they see their success with communities of color? Can LGBT see success within the immigrant population and vice versa and everything else? Because that's where the direction of this society is going. You are hearing the throes of the last chance of a society. And I know this is the last moments, but more than anything else, you got to participate because they'll take it from you. And that's, then the question is what you want with your children. Do you want your children to grow up in something like this or go from there?
That's right. We out. We'll be back next week, y'all. Up next.
One love.
Up next. Health Notes. We out.
Peace.
I just found out I'm listening to Fresh Air Community Radio. That's KFAI 90.3 FM in Minneapolis and St. Paul. And online at kfai.org. And so are you.